Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone, my name is Jamie Lang and this is Great Company. Good morning, Jemima.
Good morning, afternoon or evening to the listener whenever they are consuming this.
Well, well done. We should probably...
Good day.
Good day. Sounds like something off The Truman Show. Good afternoon, good evening and good night. You ever watch The Truman Show?
Yeah.
Great show, Jim Carrey.
Did you, after watching it, think that you're in The Truman Show?
A little bit, yeah.
Mm. Do you think you're in it now?
Sometimes.
You are.
Okay, good.
Who are you?
Oh, yes. Hello, everyone. My name is Jamie Lang, and I'm the host of Great Company, and you are...
The producer.
Jemima. Jemima and I sit before each episode to talk about the upcoming show, what I've done wrong in the previous episodes, and what I should maybe change.
So many notes. So much you've done wrong.
And
also, just not in the episode as well, just what you've done wrong this week.
Okay, good. Today's episode...
Oh, it's a biggie.
Who is it?
You should know this.
I know who it is. I was just testing you, the producer.
Zara Larsson.
Zara Larsson is an international pop sensation. She's a Swedish singer-songwriter.
Have you been to Sweden before?
I've never been.
Haven't you?
But when I was younger, I used to pretend I was Swedish because I thought it would add a little bit more excitement to my...
A little je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, a little bit.
You're blonde, so...
Blonde, so I thought that would work. And I could say djaskadai, which is very bad Swedish, but it supposedly means I love you.
Do you know what I can say in Swedish?
What?
Jag kan inte prata svenska.
What does that mean?
I don't speak Swedish.
Love that. Zara first became famous in Sweden at 10 years old when she won the Swedish version of Britain's Got Talent.
That's mad. She's been in the public eye for her career has been so long.
It's
and
insane.
She's so young. She's like, I think she's 26.
Yep. She's 26. She's so young. She gets 28 million monthly Spotify listeners and counting, which is incredible.
Almost as good as our numbers.
I know, right? And she's kind of, at the moment, she has just bought back all of her masters, which is basically where you...
Do you know? Go on. Do you want to have a go?
What I'm assuming it is like how Taylor Swift tried to buy back her masters from Scooter Braun and now she has Taylor's version. It's your original creation of that song. So it's the original recordings of the song that you can then re-release as your own.
Yeah.
So you keep all the revenue from it.
It's so powerful. She is in her CEO era.
Oh, that's great. Like that.
Yeah. Zara's really like a proper pop purist.
Yeah.
And she is a big, big fan of Beyoncé.
Okay.
And I do pre-call before the interview. And I did it with her, one of her managers, Rob. And he said, if you mention Beyoncé, she'll probably cry.
Okay, I can't wait. I'm going to mention Beyoncé.
It's like red rag to a bull.
Yeah, we just...
Tears, I want them.
Tears, I want them. So Beyoncé is going to be mentioned. I can't wait for that.
Okay.
Okay, I remember your advice from the last episode with Elizabeth Day.
What was it?
It was to enjoy the silence.
Yeah, to shut up.
To shut up, which I will try and do. And I'm ready for it. Are you?
I'm really excited for this one.
Okay, here's the episode of Great Company with Zara Larsson.
I didn't graduate. Oops. I'm fine. I only had like one more subject or something. And I was like, I don't need it. Stay in school though. Hi, I'm Zara Larsson and I'm Great Company.
Did you ever you've basically been in the public eye since you were like 10.
Mm-hmm.
So before you were, were you singing into the mirror?
I've got my 10,000 hours in the mirror.
Oh, hello. Yeah.
like 40,000 probably. I was like, welcome to my show. Since I can't even... When did I start? I feel like it's a part of me.
Yeah.
It really is a part of who I am. It's a part of my identity. I just want to... I don't know. I don't know where it comes from. I'm not from a family that... You know, values, entertainment. I'm not from a musical family. I didn't grow up around creatives, but I have always wanted to do that.
Is it because I'm one of the worst moments of, I think, my life was when I went to a boarding school and I must have been about 15 and I had a hairbrush and I was singing. And I don't know if you know a band called Blue that was in the UK. May not know it. It's, anyway, they had a song which is, I swear, if you come back in my life, I'll be there till the end of time. Okay. Back to me. And I was singing this. All boys, like, boarding school.
You thought
school.
You were by yourself.
Man, I was freaking there. I was front and center there, singing. Yeah, and, yeah. And then three of my best friends walked in and I was topless and I was singing. And I don't know, my peripheral, because I was so in it, I didn't see them. And back to me. And I honestly nearly swallowed.
Haven't we all done that? Haven't we all done that?
Yeah.
It's just something about, I think it feels really good to sing. It does for everybody,
for sure.
Whether you're good or bad. It feels really good to dance. It feels really good to feel like you are the shit.
Mm.
To feel like, hey, I'm in it. I feel it. It's something that moves me. I am also entertaining myself. I think that's also why it's so fun to sing in the mirror. Like, I'm not just like, oh, I want to be on stage. I want to entertain other people and have a good time with them. I am right now, as I'm looking at myself, connecting with myself and entertaining myself.
But some people, it's not completely. Some people shy, like my brother, for example, would.
You don't think he's done it from the mirror or did growing up?
He used to, we used to share a bedroom together and he used to pretend, I used to lie on one bed, he would lie on the other, and he was, I think he was always like at war because he was always going underneath this dude.
Okay.
I don't know what the hell he was doing. but I don't think, I think his idea of being on stage, being in that place is just everything he wouldn't want, perhaps. So
Now thinking about it, like actually take away the stage, just having that moment with yourself. I just cannot imagine. I mean, that's just maybe me personally, why I can't imagine it, because that's just such a big part of who I am, to be that person. Maybe some people aren't interested in that. Maybe they're interested in other things.
Do you think people are just born with that innate ability to entertain
perhaps,
or want to entertain?
Perhaps. And I've really been thinking about it for the past year. It's like, okay, why do I have this intense longing for being on stage and entertain other people? Like, what is it? Do I crave the love? Do I crave the attention? Why do I feel that way? And why have I always felt that way? Because I don't come from a home that was lacking in love or affection or anything like that. And I just think I would pick a career. If I couldn't sing, I would still want to do something that would let me connect with other people. Like, I want to relate to others, and I want other people to relate to me, and I want to feel like they see me and I see them. I don't know. I really enjoy just people. I love people.
Yeah.
I love having conversation with people. I love just having that special moment, even if it's brief. It's just like, oh, we had a little something, you know? And I carry that with me, and I think I want to give that to other people because I just love people.
Yeah, this is why I do this podcast, is because I think people are amazing. And I think actually in our current life, we actually sort of, social media's done that to us. We've actually become distant from one another. Rather than become connected, we become disconnected, I think. And actually connecting with people is...
Don't you think also social media helps you connect with people?
My personal take on it is this, is I think it helps you connect, for sure, but I help...
Maybe an illusion of connection.
Correct. Yeah. I don't think FaceTimes, phone calls, messaging, I don't think that's real connection.
You don't?
No, I think... And I had this big discussion about this the other day because... I went through a period of feeling a bit lonely, but this person was like, well, you got lots of friends. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm fucking popular. And I was like, I got loads of friends. But I felt really, what I realized is that I was just calling people.
Right.
And so what I would do, wake up in the morning, call my friend Toby.
Hey, what's up? What's up?
Hey, what's up? What's up? Fine. Okay, great. Tick, done that connected thing. So I wasn't really connecting. And I But I
there's
also,
definitely a difference. I hear you.
I also think what's funny though is my wife, right, mm-hmm. will be messaging, talking to her friends or her sister or her friend mm-hmm. every single day. But mm-hmm. where I think to maybe not generalize it at all, but I definitely think from my experience, I've seen it with my wife, women are much better at connecting.
Hmm.
Much better at connecting. Where I think
maybe because we've just been conditioned also to have those relationships and to kind of water our relationship plants, you know? I think, I mean, I don't know, but in general, I do feel like it's more like a thing for women to be caring and nurturing and, you know, just in society as we look at women as more like motherly, or they have this instinct. And I don't even know if that's biologically in us or if it's just something that we expect women to do. Because I feel like I'm super bad at that. Like, I feel like I'm a terrible friend sometimes just because I look at my other friends and I'm like, ooh, I wish I could be like my sister. I wish I could have that really, really strong. I do have strong bonds in my life, but like, if you're not in front of me, you don't really exist. Like, if I'm away,
yeah,
I'm like...
Yeah, it's because you're selfish.
Perhaps, yeah.
No, it's not.
There's just like, I'm very present with what I'm doing now. But if I don't, I'm the type of, I feel like you don't have to speak every day. Like with my friends, I'm like, cool. I don't have to talk to you every day or every week.
You have that confidence. Yeah, you're not striving. Like I...
But you do need to talk to them sometimes. You do need to like, hey, like my best friend, she went to school up north, like the northest point of Sweden for like a year. We didn't speak for a year.
You're a good friend.
It's so funny now. Like now she's back and we're like, oh, we're friends again. And we like laugh about it that we just missed the year of each other's lives.
Yeah, but that's also because maybe you've experienced, because you've been, you know, you were signed by an album at 14 years old. You know, you won what I could sort of describe as the equivalent of Britain's Got Talent in Sweden at 10 years old.
Yeah.
Right. And so for you, you've kind of always been on this road and always been traveling different places. So for you, you've always kind of been distant, maybe.
Yeah.
And you've realized that you can reconnect at any times.
Yeah. Because I do come back.
Yeah, of course.
And I think also now when you're older, you realize that if you have friends that you had for a long time, then I'm not worried that they will disappear into thin air. I think maybe we're just in a patch where we don't speak that much, and that's fine. And then we're going to find our way back to each other, and then we might do this, and then we might meet again, and then we might do this, and then we might meet again. And then we're...
That's a lot of... You have a lot of confidence.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You think it's a confidence thing?
You're very... It feels like a lot of sort of self-worth. It feels like... Because, you know, what you're saying, right, is... Okay, typically a lot of people in the industry, especially entertainment industry, right, mm-hmm. are sort of striving for something. And that's because you want to become famous. And if you become famous, you get validation. Like mm-hmm. I know that I went on to do reality TV is because I thought, well, if I go and do this show, then I'm going to be loved by so many people and that's going to cure all of these things. And then I'm not going to feel abandonment or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't do that. And so you're then kind of just doing things because you think it's going to be cured. But with you... From what you said, you have a great family.
Yeah.
You have great friends. Yeah. You're successful, all these different things. And so
I'm very lucky.
You're just kind of doing it for the love. You're not being dragged by something. Your own personal insecurities, really, it feels like.
I hope so. I do have this ambition for validation. And like, I do crave that. And maybe, like you asked earlier, do you think some people are born with that? Perhaps. Maybe there's something in my brain that just really needs the dopamine, that needs like that little rush that you get from like being on stage or having someone come up to you and like, you're amazing. Or like you know what I mean? Like it makes you feel good. It makes you feel good.
Great.
Yeah.
But that becomes a little bit of an issue, right? Do you have therapy?
I've gone once or twice.
So you don't do it regularly, you just don't?
No, I don't do anything regularly except for the music, basically.
That's insane. That's insane. You're insane. No, I sort of do therapy now. And, I was in the therapy session and I was talking about this idea of validation. And the issue that we have with, the, again, sort of the entertainment world is that, and especially with sort of social media and things like that, is that your every like you get, every stream you get for your album, your song, every time you sell a ticket, it's that constant dopamine hit, bah, 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 mm-hmm. all the time.
It never ends.
And it never ends.
Yeah.
And if you are striving for that validation, there's never going to be a point where you go, right. I'm satisfied.
Because everything is relative too. I remember when my first, do you remember Instagram where they used to have like the explore page used to really be not the for you page or like discovery page. It used to be like, what's popping right now? The first picture that got on that like popular page, I think it was called. I remember feeling on top of the world. And I think my picture got like 5,000 likes. Mm. And I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe it. If my picture now will get 5,000 likes, I'll be like, I'm a flop. I'm deleting my Instagram. Like, you know what I mean? I'll be like, I fucking suck. Which is so, you constantly raise the bar for yourself. So I've actually taken, speaking of that, I don't want to see anyone's likes on Instagram. I've taken that off. I don't want to see my likes. I've taken that off because I do find myself looking at that like way too much.
Has that helped?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to compare myself to the likes, which is maybe like, oh. Who cares? I care.
And it's, I think so it's good of you to.
Yeah. I think most people do care. 100%. It's a human thing. And also validation. Like, that's not all bad. It's a very human thing. Like, we all want validation. And I think it's necessary to just like survive. Like, we want to be in the group. We want to be a part of something. But too much of it, you just have to keep it on a level that's semi-healthy, you know.
I read somewhere that you nearly struggle with burnout.
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like, do I? Because I never go to sleep. Like, I don't like going to sleep. I think
Why?
It's such a sad, sad, sad moment of the day where you have to...
So funny. I swear, I have that. I have a similar thing.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't want to go to bed.
I don't want to go to bed. Yeah. We're having so much fun.
Make sure everyone's awake soon. Okay, everyone.
Yeah. Why does it have to end? I hate that. But my body will tell me go to sleep, actually, which is nice. But also, I realized... One time I was feeling really shit. I was super tired. I just felt my whole body like I'd worked really, really hard the whole year. I think it was like 2018. And I was going to do this thing at Disney. And I was in New York and I was really not in a good place mentally. And I just couldn't. I just felt like my body was like, nah, I just couldn't do it. And then my manager was like, so do you want to cancel it and go home then? And I was like, I can do that? Is that like an option? You know what I mean? Like, I was like, what? Are you allowed to? And she was like, yeah, if you don't feel good, you could cancel it. And I didn't know that was like a thing that you could do. But she was like, yeah, you can go home and like be with your family, like go see your mom. And I was like, yes, I want to do that.
So you
and then I
it.
Just got on the flight home and I really, really needed that. I really needed that.
Was that liberating? Because you were saying like, oh my God, I can make a decision like that, something big like that. That's a
I don't
huge
really,
moment.
Yeah, and I don't really cancel stuff. And I don't, you know, if I have something that I have said that I'm going to do, I do it. But that one was definitely very, it was nice. And I think that's one of the only times I've done that. And it's just nice to know if you really need to, the world is not going to end. We aren't doctors on the operating table. It's just Disneyland.
Such a, yeah. You know? It's just a podcast. It doesn't actually, just, it doesn't fucking matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I really wanted to matter, but it doesn't. When you're recording a song, when you're writing it, when you're finding the lyrics and you're getting whatever you're getting within your song, when you hear one and you're like, this feels good,
mm-hmm.
when you're in that scene, you're like,
this is fucking it.
This is going to be it. You've had that a few times, right?
Yes, so many times. I'm like, this, like, you're not even ready.
What, ready for me?
No one's ready for me. Like, you don't even know. And then I'm like, I felt that way with Love Me Land, like my first single off Poster Girl. I really felt like, guys, like, nah. Like,
you hearing what I'm hearing? Are you hearing what I'm hearing? I don't think you're ready,
like,
for this shit.
This is gonna blow every chart. Like, everyone is gonna like.
What is it? How do you know that though? How do you know?
I just felt like it was such a good song, and then it didn't do what I wanted it to. But you know what?
Is that marketing?
I don't even know. Maybe it's the stars aligning in the universe. I think there's so many things that just has to be right for that moment in time. But the thing is, I'm so proud of that song and I love the video. I love everything about it. And even just releasing it just felt like a proud moment, because I don't feel like when I release stuff that I feel really happy about, that it's, you can't lose. You really can't lose. And I'm just not saying that. I feel sad for the people missing out on that song. That's really what I feel.
That is a great way. So it doesn't create self-doubt. It doesn't make you scared. It just makes you go.
It makes me like, hello, wake up. Wake up. That's how I feel. Yeah. And then.
You guys didn't hear it?
Yeah.
What the fuck? It was freaking
amazing. It was amazing. And then I think if you would have released
something.
It's a
great way to twist it, but not even twist it, because that's a wrong word. It's the great way to view it.
Yeah. But if you release something that you're not super proud of and you feel that way of. I've released songs that I feel like this is good, but I'm also mostly excited about, like, this might feel like a hit. And then, but I've never really released something that I didn't like. But let's say you do that. I know a lot of artists that have done that, and they release something and, you know, if it's a hit, they love it. You know, wow, it was a number one. I love it. It got 2 billion streams. If it's not a hit, and then you stand there with a song that you don't even like, that's like a flop to me, emotionally. That's an emotional flop, which is the worst type of flop.
What does that feel like? It's the worst kind of flop. Yeah, it's the worst kind of flop. What does that feel like?
I think it would just be like, why am I doing this? Who am I doing this for?
And then that's when your drive and ambition start, because you're like, well, because that's what keeps you going in life, right? Just for everyone, it's the ambition, the drive, and
it's
to keep that there is hard.
When you are an artist that is competitive, which I think every artist is, or has a drive to want to be at least the best version of yourself, but also with other, like you want to be in the game, you know. When you have that, it's hard to also compare, because music is so, it's like Jay-Z said at the Grammys, like, this is just a bunch of people voting for what they think is the best song. It's not necessarily the best album or the best song, because there is no such thing. There's only the best song for you. Like, me and my dad, we have very different types of
tastes,
genres, and tastes that we listen to.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that
he hates
the Grateful Dead, or imagine. But he probably wouldn't have my, you know, the majority of my songs on his playlist that he would listen to when he relaxes or cooks or whatever. And I probably wouldn't listen to Motorhead. And that's not saying they're bad. It's just not my type of vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Not
so
my vibe
that's
either.
That's also something that's hard. But when someone is amazing, like Beyonce, when someone is just, sorry, but objectively the best.
Have you heard her?
Of course.
Texas Hold'em?
Yeah, and 16 Carriages. That makes me cry.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
It makes you cry?
Yeah.
Can someone play it real quick? Wait, hang on. Why does it make you cry?
I don't know.
Can we hear it? I just want it, because I know. Texas Hold'em, I'm in.
No, 16 Carriages, have you heard that? It's a bit unclear what the song's about, but you could see it from different perspectives. And one of them is like 16 Carriages is that her years that she's been in the industry, like her life, like she sees her life, the 16, is that her tour buses going away on the road, driving away with her dreams of, because even though Beyonce is like, you know, she's the superstar of the world. She's like the celebrity of celebrities, and everybody just, not everybody, but everybody who has good taste loves her, I would say. She probably also have a lot of dreams that she couldn't fulfill because she had to sacrifice a big part of her life to her career and where she's at right now. And was it worth it? Did she get to experience all the things she wanted? Like, she obviously lives a very, very different life than you and me. Mm. She can't walk out. She can't have this like connection with strangers, because everybody just sees her as a phenomenon almost. I could only imagine. And that's also something you got to think about, like, ooh, you know, I want to be this like superstar and I want to be like a celebrity and like, I want everybody to love me. But then I also want people to love me for me, because I don't know Beyonce, and not a lot of people actually know her, at least the people who follow her. And that's sad. I don't know. That made me cry.
But why? But because you care for her so much, or it relates to you? Is that what it is? It's because you care for her so much. That's unbelievable. That's so, you're like an empath. Sorry, that is, you're actually getting tearful. Yeah. I'm going to clip up this bit and just add it to another bit so it doesn't feel like it's about Beyonce. Do you want a tissue?
No, it's fine. It's fine. Sure? I'm not going to cry.
Okay.
But it is, it's just like, oh, I don't even know if that song's about that. But to me, it felt like I could empathize with that. And she probably have had the most amazing life and obviously experienced stuff that a regular person wouldn't. And so have I. I've been traveling. I've been able to tour the world with my music.
But what have you sacrificed?
Maybe like time with the people I love. And what's more important than that, really? When you go out, and yes, you do get love from people you don't know, but like when you are on your deathbed and you lay there and you think back about life, isn't it the relationships, the real relationships that we have with people that really meant everything? But I think also you want to leave like a legacy, or you want to inspire people and be a part. That's why music is so beautiful. Like, sometimes I have people walking up to me and they're like, oh my gosh, like, your song was, I had your song as I got married, or on my graduation, or this really important moment in someone's life. And I got to be a part of that. Or they would have looked at my videos in a time where they felt sad or wasn't in a good place, and they felt inspired. Or even someone might be listening to your podcast and felt it, maybe just ticked a little thought that led them to some, you know. I think it's nice that you are able to inspire people, but personally, at the end of the very, very end, I don't know, like, what is this all about?
There's a, like, a, is it a fable? I don't know. But there's a story which I heard recently, which is, and I'm going to completely murder it, but I'm going to give it a go, where it's a fisherman and an American businessman. Mm-hmm. And the American businessman says to the fisherman, what do you do? And he says, well, I go and fish in the morning, and then I do a little bit, and I come back to my family and I have play with them and I have a great time with them. We eat the fish. And the American businessman says, well, why don't you spend all your day fishing, collect the fish, take it back to your family, but then go and sell the fish? Mm-hmm. And the fisherman says, well, why do I do that? And he goes, well, then you can make more money. And the fisherman goes, why would I do that? He goes, well, then you can sell the fish, and you can then maybe go and sell the fish, collect money, go and buy a factory, tin it up, and then you've got the production, and then you can sell more. And the fisherman says, well, why would I do that? And he goes, well, then you can sell all that and you can have loads of money. Yeah. And the fisherman says, well, why would you do that? And he goes, well, then you can spend more time with your family.
Right.
And the fisherman says, well, I was doing that in the first place.
It makes me want to cry. Boo, capitalism, boo!
But you know what I mean, right? And so...
Yeah.
Gets me a bit emotional because what the hell are you doing to me? Because at the end of the day.
Yeah.
That's really what is important.
Yeah. It really is. is.
Love, relationships, yeah. loyalty, trust, all those kind of things. All the other stuff that we're doing right here, you know, but maybe that gives us purpose, right? And, and purpose is really important. Mm-hmm. And in terms of purpose, you know, you're so fulfilled with what you're doing. So maybe that is the part of life as well that you can look back.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone actually, no matter what you do, have it completely figured out.
No.
Because I think, like you say, you do need something to strive for. And a purpose and to work towards something, but at the same time just be aware of it and be aware of being present and like appreciate all that you have. And that's just such a, because sometimes I think, ooh, what will be different, like in this actual very very moment, let's say I would have right now like 20 Grammys, right? And I would have a big, big entourage wherever I go. And I would be on the way to a stadium tour. Would the rehearsal that I'm doing or sitting here right now talking, would that be that much different? It wouldn't. It really wouldn't. I still want it. But
yeah.
You just have to think like... Would it be that? Would it feel that different? Maybe from the, it would look different from the outside, but would it feel different for me? I don't think so.
No, it really wouldn't.
So I'm just happy in any setting, basically.
Hey guys, I know that you're already listening to this and that is so kind. But if you haven't subscribed to this show, it does so much for us. I cannot even explain. It doesn't cost you anything. You just got to click the subscribe button wherever you're listening to this. And it means that we can continue to get amazing guests and make great shows. So if you can do that one favor for us, that would be absolutely amazing.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Do you think you grew up pretty quickly?
A part of me feels like I have not grown up. So no, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
But when there's two types of growing up. I understand what you're saying by I didn't
have to take a lot of like responsibility and stuff. Actually, that's why a reason why I don't feel like I'm grown up, because
yeah.
I'm like, where are we going? Like, I don't know. Like, oh, someone booked me a car. Like, I'm just getting the car. And they're like, where are you going? I'm like, I don't know. Just like, I guess you have the address to the driver. And then I go out or someone meets me there. And I'm like, where do I go? I don't know. Like, just like, take You're me going, places.
That is so, I was going to say that. You things are all done for you in lots of ways. So you don't grow up. But there's the other side of growing up, which is almost maybe possibly not more important, because that's, you know, learning to pay a bill, do the laundry or whatever. Those are sort of big lessons that you want to learn. But big thing about growing up is like falling in love when you're young.
And that's true.
And getting in arguments with your best friends at school because they've kissed the other person. Or whatever. Did you go into school dances?
That emotional part for sure. I've grown up with that. And I think it's also because I have been, even though I haven't gone to a lot of therapy, all of my friends have. So they're so good at communicating and they're so good at like just helping me realize things and see things, and maybe not even purposely sometimes. They just take me there. I don't know. And then I have been through like my teenage years were very dramatic, very... I was very like a destructive teenager.
Why?
We did do a lot of family therapy actually when I was a teenager. I was just a bad teenager. I was just really wild. I just did whatever I wanted to do. I didn't listen to anyone. I was just like...
It's weird to do that all the time. I think she's broken. We got to get...
It was pretty much that. Yeah, they're like, we need to take her to the doctor. Like, something's wrong with her.
Because you were being rebellious because you thought you knew everything.
Yeah, very much that.
And you were having success as well. So you're like, screw you guys.
Yeah, maybe.
And your dad is a military man. Mm-hmm. And so I'm assuming, I'm just guessing here, but he must be quite regimented and...
He's very disciplined.
Very disciplined,
very
right?
Very disciplined.
And so then when your daughter, and you're the eldest, mm-hmm. starts to maybe go a bit wild, that must be completely against...
Yeah, but my mom, she's the matriarch. Like she, he can run whatever outside of the house, but in the house, my mom's like the one who decides things. But also my dad was away a lot. My dad wasn't really home like that. He was always on a mission or I don't know what he was doing. He was just gone pretty much. And so mom was just the one who like kept the fortress. And now when my parents, especially my dad, when they're older and he's not out and away all the time and he's grown really maybe sentimental, he's getting, you know, maybe you realize like I'm getting older and life is actually not that long. It goes quick. I think he realizes it's so important to have that good family relationship and bond. And I feel like he's trying a lot to just have us all bond and like connect. So he's definitely like a different man today than he was when I grew up. And it's kind of cute. It's cute to see him like, love you. And I'm like, oh, that's crazy. Like, you know what I mean? But I know he loves me and my sister so much.
Because you didn't get that as much when you were younger.
I mean, he loves us so much. I think he has, like a lot of men, maybe also from that generation, maybe had some difficulties like expressing that with his words. But he was always a fun dad, you know, when he was home and we would go and do really fun stuff. And he would just take us like he's like a fun dad, you know. But yeah, I've never doubted that he loved me or my sister or my mom. But it's also, I think, growing up, you want that for a child. I think the quantity is more important than the quality time. You know?
I completely agree with you.
You just need to be there. Like, you know,
I couldn't agree with you more. My dad, who's just great, and yeah. And also it's so funny because the way you're articulating it, right, is that you don't want to sound like you're being disloyal because you're
and obviously I love my dad
and you're being super respectful and all these different things, which is great. But if I could sort of relate it to me, I played a lot of sport and I injured my knee. I did an ACL ligament when I was it was really bad when I was like 17 years old, and my dad just turned up and he was very busy, and he said, oh, he turned up and he dropped off a portable DVD player and said, here you go. And I was like, I'm sick. Great. Yeah. And then he went off. But for him, it was.
Yeah, I'm going to show you how much I love you because I want you to have a good time with this DVD.
Good time. And I opened up and it was just loads of porn. Yeah. Imagine.
Best gift ever.
Yeah, thanks, Dad. We should watch it together, son.
Imagine,
it was not that. But in his eyes, because he's not great at expressing love.
And maybe
he
came from a family that didn't do that.
No,
I know
they didn't.
That's, you know, with my parents, it's like, I know how they grew up. And maybe in that time, it was also just not something that you would maybe tell your kids or show your kids. My grandpa didn't do that. I know that for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think that's where the constant...
What do I know? Maybe we should go to therapy.
I think we're doing it right now.
maybe, yeah.
That's a
classic, isn't it?
Yeah. You know what? I feel like it is. Yeah, there we go. I feel like it is. Should we go into it? I feel like it is. How do you stay connected with your partner when you're away? Because that must be quite tricky, right?
Yeah, I feel like we both have quite flexible jobs, or in the sense of that we don't have like a 9-to-5 office kind of situation. So he would come and see me a little bit here and there. I think FaceTime, but like you said in the beginning, you know, when you just call someone on FaceTime, sometimes I have that when it's like, hey, like, what's up? Okay, I gotta go. And he's like, no, you don't. No, you don't have to go. Like, we can talk a little bit. And then after 15 minutes, when you actually get into a conversation, that's when it's like, oh, and yeah, and by the way, I did this thing and then I saw this person and you know what he said,
and you know,
and then we actually start to connect. Yeah. So you just got to give yourself that time But it's fine. And also, if we don't speak every day, I also know that we'll be fine. But the more you talk to someone, the more you want to talk to them. Mm. And the more you're like, oh, I'm fine. I'm living my life. Like, I am living my life and I'm very busy. But you do want to have that check in with each other and feel like, but it's hard. It is hard. But this tour isn't too bad. It's like a month and a half, you know?
How many dates are you doing?
Now it's not too bad. 16. It's going to go by like this in the blink of an eye, and then it's going to be over. And then I'm doing the festivals in summer, and then we'll just keep going for the rest of the world by, you know, the end of the year.
Are you going to go to Glastonbury?
When is that?
June.
I'm not booked, but I
thought we were going to get an exclusive. And like, yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not too late. It's not too late. That would be amazing. Obviously, it's like the biggest festival in the world. And I've heard great things about it. I've never been. I've only been to their clean cousin, Coachella.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a different vibe. Yeah. No alcohol in here.
No boots, yeah, wellies, yeah, yeah. You know, no rain.
If you have a camera, you're allowed to come in.
Right. Yeah. But we'll see. I would love to go. I mean, they always have amazing acts and a big variety of people, too.
Good. Listen, if you want to come, excuse me, I can hook you up. You can hook yourself up. I go. Your new album, Venus, is all about love.
Yeah.
And
pretty much.
It feels, from what I've just researched, you love love.
I love love.
Yeah,
that's really
what
makes the world go round.
But it's amazing how much you love love, to the point where, you know, I hear these stories. You have your boyfriend, you have your partner, and you constantly say how much you love him.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah.
I love him. He's so amazing. Yeah.
And one of the songs on the album is about your sister.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I just think she is such an important person in my life. I think love obviously could be very romantic and beautiful, but she is such an incredible person, an incredible friend. And I hope if we weren't sister, I would just have loved to have her as a close friend of mine. I think she is just the most beautiful person, and I could like dedicate a whole album to her. I really could. I've written songs about her before, but I feel like that one was just, it was fun, it was good vibes. I wanted to have her in the video.
And what is great, because she's a singer also.
Yeah.
And she's in a band. The band is called
Lennox.
Yeah. And all you're doing is promoting her, you know, and so, no, in a great way. And I love that, because sometimes you know, we talk. The problem with life is that we're constantly comparing, and we're constantly, especially in your industry, you're it's rivals all the time. Mm-hmm. But you don't care. And sometimes sibling rivalry is really hard.
Yeah.
But
and I think for
you
her,
you don't have that at all.
No, I mean, definitely. I don't have
and
that
from
at
her
all.
Side, no.
No, I think it's tricky, because of course she really appreciates when I'm sharing her music, because also that gives her views and engagement and all of that. And that's what you want as an artist. You want people to listen to what you have made, of course. But then I think there's a fine line between, like, she wants to be her own person. Like, I really had to convince her to be in the video for my song with David Guetta, like, On My Love. Because she was just like, I just don't want to be your sister all the time, you know? It's like, I want to be my own person too. And I understand that. Although, sorry, you are going to be my sister for the rest of your life. That's just the way it is.
Very true.
But I understand the feeling of that being secondary, like her as a person and her artistry and her being my sister would come first in other people's eyes. And I think that could feel, I mean, I can't speak for her, but I would understand where she will come from in that, and like,
do you sympathize, because she's younger, so you sympathize.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it must be a bit of a tricky thing when you have an older sibling who's been so successful so long, but doing things that you want to do, and then and also wanting to be so proud, and they look up to you, but at the same time wanting your own path.
Yeah, and it took her some time to even just say, "Hey, I want to do music. I want to do this type of music. I mean, we are very different in our genres and like the way we sing and how we write songs. But I have always been so, it's been so obvious for me growing up. It's been like, it's showtime and everybody's going to look at me and she will be a little bit more shy and she's such a perfectionist. So if it wasn't like perfect in the start of the song, she would redo it. And then, no, let me redo it again. Let me redo it. And I would just be like, move aside. Like, it's time for me now. And then I would, you know, she would, oh, okay. Well, let me, can I do it again? Like she's very different, even though we are cut from like the same cloth. She is, our personalities are different. And that must be fun, like having kids and then seeing that even though you are raised by the same type of people and in the same environment, it's like we are two very different people.
What is better, do you think? What in terms of creating music and making music, you kind of just go, yeah, let's just go and do it. We're going to get it right at some point, bash. Or is that sort of perfectionist, which I imagine you are a perfectionist lots of ways, but I think, do you have to be more of a risk taker?
I think being a perfectionist, is it ever really good? I mean, obviously, you want things to be as good as it can possibly be, but like perfect, that don't really exist. So being a perfectionist, and this is speaking in general, not specifically about my sister, but just being a perfectionist is just setting yourself up for something impossible, I think. And then you don't allow yourself to evolve. Because I feel like the most exciting part about releasing an album, even though I'm super proud of Venus, I'm really happy with all the songs, I'm really excited about the tour, but the most exciting part is, oh my God, yes, now I can finally do something new. I can like move on and start a new chapter and make that even better and develop and evolve. And you can't do that if you don't allow yourself to release stuff. And I think it's you're scared of failure.
Yeah, I think the biggest fear that always comes, right, with these situations is you think, this is going to be it. I'm going to release it and then it's gone. And people are going to like...
Or that this will define me forever.
This is it, it's going to define me forever.
Yeah.
Because with your last album, some would say it wasn't as well received as you would have... And that must be quite tricky sometimes.
But I kind of knew it wouldn't be, if you know what I mean. Not that it wasn't just as good as So Good that I released previously. But I just feel like it was really, really hard to live up to the numbers and the commercial success of So Good, because the way we set up that album was basically just, it was a collection of my singles. And I had like seven singles or something. It was just like a lot of singles.
And then we
like put them all into one track and like one album, added some really good songs to that and called it a day. And it was amazing. And it was super well received because it was just hits on hits on hits on hits. And then
did you know when you put it up, were you like, was there a part of you just going, oh, I just
you
don't.
You mean Poster Girl?
Yes.
Yeah. I just knew that. To reach the success, like the commercial success and the numbers of So Good, it's going to be really hard. And I try to like fight that and just be like, no, it has to be better. It has to be better. It has to be better. And I didn't even really know what I was looking for. I was just looking for like that validation, perhaps, or that number, or that
can you keep... getting
and you can't you, you can't can. No, you can't do that. And life isn't, I don't think life is like a straight up, like up going, what do you call that, with the diagram just going straight up.
I call it an upward slope. It can't,
perhaps.
Okay. Yeah. Can't be. It's just an upward slope.
An upward slope. It's,
what, do you want me to give you the degree? Like it's, what is that degree? I don't know. Is that like a 40 degree angle?
Yeah. You know, when you just keep going
life
up,
is not
up,
a 40
up,
degree angle.
Life is not. Sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down a bit.
Upward trajectory.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I think I just needed to release an album. I needed to get it out. And then so I could start with a new album. And then so I could start with a new album after that and a new album after that. And I think you can't be blinded. I've realized that now. And I think I'm still in the process of like really, really feeling it. But why am I doing this? I'm doing it because I love it. And I'm doing it because I like to perform and I like to write songs and I like to sing. That is really why I'm doing it. And then everything that comes with it, it's amazing and it's beautiful and it's fantastic. But I can't do it only because I want to see like big numbers.
It's like it's the greatest job in the world.
Yeah.
But also the hardest job in the world.
Yeah.
Because if you're a dentist or a doctor or a librarian or what, you know, you... No one's judging,
mm-hmm.
you know, you give one...
Unless you die.
Unless you kill them, then you are definitely judged. Yeah, in court. Yeah, you're judged in court. But you know what I mean? If you give someone a bad dental, what a hygiene, they yeah. go away, they can make... But no one ever... Well, mm-hmm. you know, in the industry, that when you put yourself out there into the atmosphere
mm-hmm.
to be judged mm-hmm. by your fans, by your critics, whoever it is... Of course yeah. there are going to be negative and yeah. and if you don't, as you said, if you don't hit the same numbers as you did before, then straight away, well, it's not the same success.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like,
and don't get me wrong, like I still want that success.
Of course.
And I think
that's because you're competitive.
I am.
Yeah.
And if you just keep doing it, like the more you do it, the harder you work, the luckier you'll get, you know? If you keep doing it, your chance of getting lucky and having another like hit or getting a number one will obviously increase. Like you can't get a number one if you don't release any songs.
What's your favorite song on the new album, if you had to pick?
I love Ammunition.
How does that go?
Give me ammunition. Kiss me, touch me. It's just like a...
Sing that one more time, was it? Give me.
Okay, it starts like this. You know my situation. Why you acting like you can't be patient? All I'm hearing from you lately. What? Monogamy so fucking dated. Boys like you love fantasy. Anime, no, that ain't me. It's just like, it's a vibe. It's cool. The choreo's really nice.
Great.
It's like the drums are really nice. It's really just a great pop song with a little bit of a flavor to it.
Yeah.
Like Danger, who did the drums, is such a legend, has done so many amazing hits.
What do you mean about monogamy's dated though?
Well, that's what he's saying. He's saying that.
Oh my God, this is
great.
And
I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
You don't want me? I want to give us a shot. Please give me ammunition. Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah.
That's the song when you were recording, you were like, are you hearing this shit?
Exactly. I love that. I love all the songs on the record. And I feel like the more you listen to it, the more you feel it. And especially, I definitely gave myself some ballads on this record, mm-hmm. which is nice. And also just some space to be a little agile with the vocals.
Because your vocals are insane, right? And so you just...
Yeah.
So what? Because you gave your space to go, right, I'm going to go
for it.
I think
sometimes with pop songs, because there is a big part of a pop song is like the production.
Yeah.
And it's very... a pop song is usually quite like perfect with the production and the drums and everything just sounds like sleek, you know, it's clean, it's like mwah. And then you might forget that whoever's singing the song is actually quite talented as a singer because it just blends in with everything really nicely. And I think when you strip that off a little bit and you get to focus on the vocals, that's when you really appreciate someone's voice. But I like both. I mean, I am such a performer who loves to dance as well. Like it wouldn't be a Zara Larsson show if I didn't bring some dancers and had a little dance break and had a costume change and like the show of it. But also I am a singer. Like I sing.
Cause you know, just singing then that was a cappella.
No, I really go off.
Yeah,
there's no reverb in this mic.
No,
but
that was that was we can put some in. That was just all, so because your voice is amazing and you're right. Maybe as a pop singer, it's sing, dance, bad, and this and that.
Uh-huh.
But actually, the vocals are also there.
Yes.
Which is amazing.
And it's like, that's why I think sometimes, speaking of Beyonce again, but like people forget who aren't like big, big fans of her, that she is like a real vocalist because she has all this like lights and the costumes and the dancing. She's got a voice. And I've got a voice.
Someone is getting fired. Someone is getting... That was Beyonce, wasn't it? On stage when something got wrong. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. Hey, sorry, listen, we love to end the podcast with 8 questions.
Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
Okay.
You can answer them as quickly or as slow as you want.
Okay.
Okay. Number one. Mm-hmm. What's a saying or phrase that always makes you smile or cheers you up?
This one's really hard. What do people say on this?
Oh, some people just say, they say anything. I mean, laughter, that cheers me up. Or someone comes out with a quote like, I don't know, it's been there. Does you have, this too shall pass?
I like the show sold out.
Man. Yeah. Freaking great.
Yeah.
Love that. Best compliment anyone's ever given you?
Oh, this is hard because I get a lot of compliments. But honestly though, like in the sense of it's not normal to get that many compliments. It could be like you're a good singer, like I like your jacket, or you have like someone waiting for you outside of a radio station, like I love you, like, you know. But I think it, for me, any compliment that comes from someone that I truly, truly care about in my life. My sister, she's quite a big critic of mine. And she's honest and she's not rude about it, but I know she will never sugarcoat anything. But if she says, I love that, I love this song, or I loved when you did this, that's when I know it really comes from the heart. So whatever, any compliment from Hannah. Yeah.
What scares you the most about yourself?
Maybe not about myself, but about life, that I want to do so many things I know I'll never have the time for.
Yeah, that made me shudder as well. Like,
I read a quote, and this isn't, I don't think this is, it's not like a direct quote, but it's something along the lines of, I sometimes feel the bones crushing under the weight of all the lives I haven't lived. And that's just like, damn.
Yeah,
I want to do so many things. I want to be a backpacker in Asia.
Yeah.
I want to be a helicopter pilot. Okay. I want to be a diver. I want to be a teacher. I want to be.
Dude. Yeah. What are you going to teach?
Anything.
Yeah.
I just want to stand there with the
You want to do physics? Yeah. You want to teach physics?
Yeah, I think like teaching, and I mean, that is kind of like performing.
Yeah, but you connecting. And,
exactly.
And, yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah.
I get it. When was the last time you cried?
Yesterday when I listened to 16 Carriages.
What's something you can't let go of?
I'm such a creature of, I fixate on a lot of different things, and specifically food. So right now it's the mushroom dumplings from Yuacha.
That is hilarious. I know that. Yeah, I know exactly. Really good.
Ones,
yeah.
So good. And it's weird. It's to the point where it's like, are they really that good, or am I insane? Because I have them every single day. No exceptions. If they deliver to me, if it's close enough to deliver, I'll have them every day. It's weird. And I'll know I'll have them to the point where I'm like, I never want to have them again. And then I go on to something else and I'll only have that.
Sounds like an addiction. What's something you'd be embarrassed for people to know you like or want?
Nothing.
Yeah, that is the greatest answer, I think.
Nothing. There's no guilt in the pleasure.
That's great.
Yeah.
What turns you off?
I mean, I'm trying to think of something that isn't like the obvious. Like, oh, when someone hasn't showered for a week. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, obviously. Or...
critics? Anything like that? Not really.
Oh, not really. I want more haters.
I didn't think you were going to get that. You want that?
Just a few. Because that truly means like, if you have a lot of haters, you also have a lot of lovers.
True.
And the haters are really dedicated people. Because if someone is indifferent to you, that's actually worse, I think. If someone's like, I genuinely don't care. Like, I don't care. But if someone's like, I hate this person, I'm going to check every interview and every performance and every song and every, like, that is really a fan. And they're sometimes even more dedicated than the real fans.
I love that. What turns you on?
When someone is funny.
That's
yeah,
a great thing.
It really is. Like, if you can't make me laugh, or when someone doesn't take themselves, which is all, also a turnoff, when someone takes themselves really serious, I'm like, get out of my fucking face. And if someone's like, hey, I don't take myself that serious.
They have to say that to you? That's what they have to do?
That and they have to do this?
What? No, mate, what do you like most about yourself?
I like that I am very much like in the moment, and that I don't dwell on things.
You just move through it. You get through it.
Yeah.
It's the best way to be.
Yeah.
100%. Don't dwell. Let's get through this. Mm-hmm. Okay. And for a bonus, what's your favorite swear word?
Fuck. Classic. I love that.
Straight down the line.
You could just put it anywhere.
Like where? Like what?
Like it's such a good, like, okay, the bend, like fucking. Yeah. Oh, so fucking fun to be in this fucking studio. Fuck. It's so fucking amazing.
So thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was amazing.
That was amazing. It. Fucking amazing.
It's fucking amazing. Yeah. See you later. Goodbye.
Bye.
Just that energy felt pretty good.
Yeah. She's like sunshine.
Yeah. She's incredible.
Really lovely.
Really, 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 really like her. I mean, just also just with Zara, which I like, is that I love her passion. I love how driven she is. I love how open and vulnerable she is. And what is so incredible about that is that you do forget. She talked about the fact that she, you know, she's never really had to do anything for herself. She's driven to places. She's picked up from places. She's dropped off at places. So it's interesting to understand that mentality of like, how do you become an adult if everything is done for you?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I remember Tom Holland, who plays Spider-Man, spoke about that in an interview once where he never ever paid. He had a huge problem because he never paid his water bill because he had never ever done that before. So he didn't know you had to.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, if you never learn these things, then how do you know you have to do them?
Yeah. Very open to share that as well, because it's a bit embarrassing.
True. I mentioned Beyonce.
You did mention Beyonce, and we did get a bit emotional about Beyonce. The love. And she loves love.
She loves love.
And she's in love.
And she is deeply in love.
Yeah. And she just is someone who you can tell loves what they do.
Any notes on it from your side?
Any notes?
If you have to think about it, that means no.
Yeah. I can't, not off the top of my head.
That's good news.
But you are getting better and better every week.
If you haven't subscribed to the show, please, please do. It means the world to us. And also you can follow us and DM us on social media at Great Company Podcast. Just slide into our DMs and we'll reply. And we love the fact that you're listening. Jemima, producer.
Hello.
Thank you so much.
Oh, goodbye.
No, well, yeah, it is.
Goodbye.
Goodbye until next week.
Until next week.
We'll see you later. Thank you for listening to Great Company.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.